Good morning, I'm Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Bet, and we're starting right at the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. So we saw yesterday the two different opinions of something that Rav Ashi said about Goyim and Shlichut, and the Gemara seemed to say that El Had Rav Ashi Barutahi, it's not correct. Ravina Amani Hi the Shlichut and Nochi Leitle Zechia Midrabban Ita. So we probably should have ended off over there yesterday. Ravina says he might accept what Rav Ashi is saying, what the Chachamim was saying before Rav Ashi, that when it comes to Goyim, there's no din of Shlichut. However, what he did say is that Zechia midrabban itle, but they are able to be Zoch. I mean, we have got a cloud we've learned before, Zakin lefanav, Zakin Adam Shlom befanav, that a person had to be around in order for you to mezake, to do something good for him, to receive a gift on his behalf. We said, you can't put a person into a situation where he becomes liable for something without his consent, but you can mezake. So he said, yeah, same thing, that there's zechir midrabanan. Look at Rashi. Sheyei Yisrael zoche letzorech nochri. Hechachahu Yisrael zoche le midrabanan bahavazu mi Yisrael rishon. The Mesorah Shachan rishon. So what's the problem? We're trying to understand, why was it mutar in the first case and asr in the second case? When there was the goy had borrowed money and bring it back, the Jew had borrowed money from the goy and then he gave it to another Jew. Why was it okay? We said it was the data nochri because the Jew was being zoche to the other on behalf of the nochri. So he said that would be okay. Let's dedicate the shir. In Ishbari were died in this war, civilians and soldiers and to him, all the before Shlema, and mention the Chatufim, Matan Shachar ben Enat, the last members of the Perch Tank, and Hirsch ben Beryl Chana. Also mention the before Shlema for Alyssa's mom, Tzara, Chava bat Feiga, Shem before Shlema, and also be Lizchut, all the soldiers who are now back in Gaza and fighting. Okay, so he says, yes, I've been rubbing on it. So how do you explain? He says, you need to have a katan, like a katan, like a kid. Katan, I've forgot the late lay shlichut. A katan is not din of shlichut to a katan. Rashi says, yeah, because when it's written shlichut, it's begadol, because it's been begadol. A ra'uli trom. We learned the whole din of shlichut. We said the other day, we learned already from truma, from gam atem. It's about a gadol. So the whole din of shlichut applies to a gadol. But nonetheless, itlay, a kid hasn't got shlichut. But itle zechir mid the rabbanan. But he can be zochir mid the rabbanan. Look at Rashi. Ditnan, yeah, the zakin le katan bepeg mishemain, Baba Batra. We'll see it on Daf Kuf Nun Bav towards the end of Baba Batra. So we want to say, maybe it will be the same thing. Vahachanami, loshna. And therefore, the same thing is like a katan who's got zechir mid the rabbanan, right? Because there's a Rashi Bama there for Baba Batra. We'll see when we get to Baba Batra, there's not going to be Rashi there. There's Rashbam. We'll see. In Baba, we'll get to my Batra, please God, not too long away. We're gonna get on Daf Kaf Tet Amud Aleph of Baba Batra. Look at this. Aviana, we sidetracked for a second, but it just excited me quickly. If you see over here, can you see there? That's Rashi, and then from here on starts Rashbam. And look at these. See these big black words over here, big black letters. Okay, it says like this. Ad kan perush Rashi Zatzal, mikan ve'elach perush Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Mel, his grandson. Okay? And first Pizur Anusach, and then either on the side of the Gemara there, there's a Masor HaShas, which says, Bitfus Pizero Anusach kan mate Rashi Zal. This is where Rashi died. And it's quite interesting because it's on Daf Kaf Tet. And if I'm not mistaken, somebody check me up, Steve, or someone, one of you Google, please. I think that there's a Masorah that Rashi died on Kaf Tet on the month, the Kaf Tet on one of the months that he died. There's a Masorah like that. And, okay. So we'll please God see that. But we'll get to that in Baba Batra. And that's the Rashbam who says, Zachin the Kadam Fragmin Shemait. We'll see when we get this. And the Gemara says, nonetheless, Velohi. It's not the same, not correct. Why is it not correct? Yisrael Atilichlau Shlichud. Because even though a Jewish kid, he might not have Shlichud when he's young. But why is there Zechiah? Because he'll be able to have shlichu one day. Please God, zeh akatan gadol yeh, right? He wants that young kid forever. He's going to grow up into a proper, fully-fledged Jew. But he says, but akum lo ati lichlal shlichut. Akum never comes into shlichut. So the Gemara bounces out what Ravina said with regards to that. Tan Ravina, the Gemara means a bright now. Yisrael shalav amad bin anokhi beribit. Now we've got an interesting situation. A Jew, borrows money from a goy, money lender, and now he owes him the interest. He hasn't paid the interest yet, so v'zakfan alav b'milve. What does it mean? He capitalizes the debt. Simple. He now comes, he does an agreement with the goy, so money lender says, I don't know how much, 10% interest for the last 3 years, I haven't paid you. Let's just write a new contract now, and I'll owe you the original loan, plus the interest, to make it into a new loan. Okay? They have v'zakfan alav b'ribit. Look at Rashi. Second line is Rashi. After a while, he calculates how much ribbit he owes him. They add it all together into a new loan. And he writes a document. Okay? Basically, we call it today, you capitalize the interest, you write a new loan, and you start again from fresh. So now what happens? The money lender, in the meantime, nitgayer, converts. Now he's a good Jew. So what happens when he was a goy, the money lender, wasn't a problem to lend the Jew money. But now he's Jewish. So now what happens to that loan? Even though it's a star that says you owe me 110,000 because it was 100 plus the 10 ribbit. When he was a goy, it wasn't a problem to collect it. But now he's a Jew. Can he take ribbit from the other Jew? Right? Can he take ribbit? So the bride says like this. Im kodem shenit gayer zakfan la b'milve. If this whole restructuring took place before he converted, not a problem. Gove et akeren v'gove, we take the whole amount. You can claim everything. Right, because look at Rashi, says reason. He says, the mishat zekifa havek agavui. Because at the time that they capitalized that amount into a new document, it was as if it was already collected. There was no argument that the Jew owed the goy the money, and the fact that he had signed a new document acknowledging that the new debt was so-and-so, because it was already collected, and therefore by the time he converted, he already collected the money in principle. It was already being capitalized. But he only did this agreement. He was busy going through the conversion process, and they started the procedures, and they had a couple of papers to sign, and he only managed to actually sign the papers after he had got the Beit Din to prove that he was Jewish. So he lost the ribbit. Could only claim back the debt. And the Gebrite carried on and said, the other way around. It was the other way around. If a goy borrowed money from a Jew, same idea. And he hadn't paid, and now he came and did the whole story. Then he converted the Jew, the lover, the borrower. If before he converted, so he had capitalized the whole thing. So the Jewish man lender, Govet Akem, Govet Rebbe, he can charge both. However, imishanit Gayer, if they only managed to cross the T's and dot the I's, etc., once he was already finished the conversion process, so now the money Jewish money lender has lost out on the ribbit because this guy went ahead and converted.
Even though the person's not the same person anymore.
Yeah, it's a good question. So he could actually, by that case, he could argue, I don't even owe you anything. Go get it from that guy. Well, you're from me. I'm Chaim. You lent the money to Harry. I don't know. Hey, Mark. Can work in both directions. But so he says to him, what are you doing? You never lent me any money. Right? So, and look over there, ribbit. So Rabbi Yossi says, Nochri shelava mat mishal beribit. Rabbi Yossi says that a Nochri who borrowed money from a Jewish money lender, says he always pays back the ribbit as well. If it was a goy who borrowed the money, he never gets a discount. You can't knock off the ribbit because he converted. Why not? He says, Amrav Chizda, Amrav Huna, Halachar Rabbi Yossi. He says, Pastor, first look at Rabbi Yossi. And then Rabbi says, Amrav, my time, Rabbi Yossi, why do you think I'm telling you look at Rabbi Yossi? It's obvious why it's like Rabbi Yossi. Why? He says, Kedei Shelo Yomru. People shouldn't say, Bishvil ma'otav nitkayer zeh. Why did this guy rush to convert? Because he knew that if he had done the busy getting converted, And then he negotiated the capitalizing the interest, and yeah, he converted after it, after it all being in the middle of wise being arranged. He now comes and says to the guy, listen, what do you want from me? I'm your friend Chaim. We now chavrutas. You can't charge me interest. And then he thinks, no, not exactly your suggestion, but also a province. Okay, tell me about another brighter. This is going by the coming. This was my coming not long ago. Shtar shekatubo ribit. If it's a shtar that's got a document there with ribit on, so konchidotov and gove. So we'll see this when we're married in a moment. A man says, you can't charge the guy anything. You wrote interest into the loan, you lose your whole loan. As a knas. Lord Akerim v'Lord Aribit, nothing, said Rabbi Meir. Remember, what are you talking about? Go with Akerim and go with Aribit. Okay, so the guy can't charge the Aribit, but at least get the money back. So the Gemara says, but Mike, what's the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? Rabbi Meir Savar, Konchinetar Mishum Yisura. Rabbi Nan Savar, Lo Kasinetar Mishum Yisura. Rabbi Meir is very Machlokes. Rabbi Meir said, listen, guys, you were over an Isur, you get the whole book thrown at you, you lose everything. I mean, so what are you talking about? Okay, I mean, the guy was in Avaria for charging the interest. You just don't give him the interest, but you can't now. Personally, I think a remarry makes sense, right? Because if all he's going to lose is just the ribit, so then where's the harta'a? No, how do you say that? Lartia. Where's the whole idea of deterrence? Thank you. Where's the deterrence? So they go, oh, guys, I tried. If he's going to lose his whole amount of money, that's pretty much it's a big ticket hanging in front of his face the next time he wants to do this. Okay, now the Gemara brings a Mishnah over here, which we saw in this Masechta early on. I think we saw Shastin at the back of Yud Zayin, yes. It's a long time ago. Don't expect anybody, I don't remember it, right? But Daf Yud Zayin, we saw Mishnah. So now, bearing in mind this machloket remer chachamim of kones heteri mishum yisura. So, do we punish the guy and say you lost everything or not? So, Mishnah said, "Now, have a shtar cho hamukdamim psulin hamukhrin ksheri." So, we learned there that if you sign a document, if you sell a guy property and you backdate the contract, right? So that's asu. Why is it asu? We said it's a pasu. Look at Rashi. V'ayno toref min hamashubanim afilu min hamukhan malve. Okay, well, the Gemara explained psulin. Rashi says, yeah, right, psulin. The buy le mitrav le guchot bizman akatuv bo vadain lo hilva. Because what's the idea? You said I got property with a chrayut, and you backdate it. Now, if you sold that guy the field and you owe people money, and they're entitled to claim from your properties, you sold this guy with a chrayut on a backdated loan. It means that if you had borrowed money from somebody, let's say on the 1st of January, and you backdated the loan to the 1st of December. So you had sold the property before you took the loan. When the guy took the now he can't go and get that property, right? Look at Rashi. The buy the mitra to come is manakatuv bo. So by dying lo hilva, he hadn't borrowed the money yet. Well, the other way around. If you signed a loan agreement and you backdated the loan agreement before you had sold the property, you sold the guy property in good faith. He thought he was buying a property unencumbered. And now it turns out a guy comes and waives a loan agreement in that's a month before he signed his contract. Now he's going to lose the property. That's the real issue, I think. That's the better way. The Baal HaMitra L'chob Mizman HaKatuv V'adayin Lo Hilva V'shtar L'chot Kodem Milve. And the star is in reality before the Milve. V'zeh Motzi Shtaro V'hu Kodem V'hu Shek Sheker. Now he says, no, I'll lend money to your sale to the guy who sold you the field before you sold, bought it from him. But it's not true. The time that he bought the land was unencumbered. He backdates the loan. So we learned there that a shtar mukdam is pasul, a mukhar is kosher. We don't care about a mukhar because what do we care? If you come and show me that you borrowed money, that you lent money to the guy I bought it from after I bought it from him, I don't care. You can't touch me anyhow. I bought it before you. So Gemara says like this, mukdam in amai psulin. Why is the mukdam pasul? Nehid lo gavu mizman rishon. Why is it pasul? Just say, listen, you can't claim from the date of the shtar. Nigu mizman sheni. But from, in other words, the guy will say to you, if what's going to happen? If you're really particular, you got anyone your star, and so you got a star with a loan, and there's a star with a contract. You're going to come and say to the guy with the contract, my loan predates your contract. But if you actually dig into details, you'll find and start checking. It's not true. So look at, so why don't we just say that not that the star is pasul, but just that only works from a later date of after the sale of the sale property. When it really was, let's check it when the date really was and say the star's not pasul, it just had only takes effect from the date that it really was. Why do we pasul the whole star? Because remember that, let's say that the guy lent you money So on the 1st of January, you had sold this field on the 1st of December, but you also might have sold the field on the 1st of February. So why are you pasting the whole star? And now even the sale of the land you sold on the 1st of February is out of the realm of this guy's guarantees. Say you're right. Even the 1st of January, it's established the real date. But we said, no, it's pasul. The same machloke remarry. It was why did we marry? Actually, Savi Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says the kanti the Torah atu isura that shall be married. The same remedy we saw previously with regards to the ribbit. He says once there's a blemish in the contract, we chuck the contract out, and everybody loses. Same thing over here. You got a star, you lent the guy money. Once you did a muktam, you backdated it, you lost the star. The stars were not worth anything anymore. Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? I'm Rafilu Tam Rabbanan. We can explain this all contrary Rabbanan. Remember, Rabbanan said, previous example, that we don't kones. If there's ribbit, we only just don't charge ribbit. The capital still stays. Remeir chucks the whole thing out. Everybody with me? Right? So why would it be different? Why would he not necessarily be Rabbi Meir? We could do Pascha Halacha. And this is Halacha, by the way. Gzeira Shem Yigvim Isman Rishon. Look at Rashi, because you might, as a gzeira, because you might actually use the end of the first day. Ikat the law masik adat and adakte kokach zanava. Rashi says there's some guys who aren't able to, don't know, wouldn't think of, aren't have the ability to actually check and find exactly what date that was. Lomar lemalve shet shtarcha mukdam umikhi kolim labatcha, who able to have the ability to say to the guy, the debtor, the creditor, yeah, in this case, sorry, that that your star is a backdated star. Go away. So that's Rabbi Yochanan says. It could even be Rabbanan, not Lav Dafka Rabbi Meir, who says we connect them just for practical purposes. We have to pass the star, because otherwise we don't know how to deal with it. What was the story? Ahu gavre demashkin lay par days to the chavre. So a guy borrows money, and he gives the money lender, he gives him a mortgage on his property. Now this is a mortgage. We'll see over here if Rashi is a part on his kerem. It's a mortgage, lechaber, right? And then the Bach adds in over here, le'eser shanim, for 10 years. Ach le'tlat shanim, 3 years have gone past, and the guy's on the field. Now, it's one of those mashkantas, we've seen them, where you actually work the field for 10 years, it's yours, until the guy pays you back the money. So he's been living there. We also know that once a person's been working a field for 3 years, it's a chazoka that it's his, correct? And that you can prove that it isn't. So what Amalei, so now he says to the guy who he lent his money to his borrower there, he says, "Im azavnit leini halimutav, if you sell me the field, fantastic, I'm happy. Sell me the field, we'll do an offset, whatever the case is. If I owe you money, I'll pay you the money, no problem." However, he warns him, "V'ilo, if you don't sell me this field," he says, "Kavishna la l'shtar mashka, I'm going to hard," Rashi says, "Yeah, Kavishna. Atmin, I'm going to hard the star, the loan agreement between us. V'amin, I'm going to tell the whole world, l'kuchah hubi yada, I bought it from you." Rashi says, and I'm going to tell him I lost the Shtar Mechir as well. I'm going to tell him, look, I've been 3 years in the field, no one's challenged me. After 3 years, I don't need a Shtar anymore. No one's challenged me in baiting. You didn't go to baiting another last year and say, listen, that guy stolen my field, he started my field, he started my field. Why? Because you thought he was an honest guy. You said, basically, you owe him money, you pay him back, get off. Now he said, I've got Chazok here, 3 years, I'm warning you now, sell me. Now these things happen, by the way. Right? Sell me, or I'm taking it away from you. So Azal, so what does he do? He gets good advice, always a clever guy. Azal, he goes himself, the owner of the field, Rashi says, Kam akne lebeno katan. He does a maaseh kinyan with his young son. Look at Rashi. Kedei shelo te mechirato mechira, shekeshi yotzi shtar mechirato, zi yotzi shtar matanato. He goes to his son, young son, and he does a maaseh matana, he gives it him as a gift. Right? Why? Rashi says that when, because he's going to have to sell this guy the contract, but he first does a master kinyan with Adim and everything kadat ve kadin, he hands it over to his son as a gift, but secretly. Right? And then Rashi says, Keshe yotzi shtar mechirato, ze yotzi shtar matanato, velo gila hadavar. He never made it public, he kept it secret. So he went with his son to Adim, he gave it as a gift, matane, he bequeathed it to his child, gave it, this is my gift, here it is, keep it quiet. That date of the contract of the matana, put it away in a safekeeping. He then goes ahead and participates in this whole fraud, sells the guy the field, right? Sells the guy the field. Because the Gemara says, Vahada Zabne Niale. And now he sells it to the guy who lent him it, to his Malvi. So the Gemara says, like this, Zvina, Vahada Loav Zvina. There's no doubt that the sale wasn't a good sale. Because he couldn't say, how can you sell something that's not yours? He gave it to his son, not his to sell anymore.
He sells it with a guarantee as well.
Wait, so, interesting you say that. Because I saw somewhere, we'll see in a moment, the question is going to be now the Ma'achrayut, but I didn't see it written in the Gemara. We'll see in a moment. Because it's going to be obvious from the Gemara in a second, the next Rashi, you'll see it's coming up. Right? As I come, Iknev Ahada Zabne Nihale. So now the Gemara says, Vinei Vadalos Vini. It's not a sale, it can't be a sale because it belongs to his child. Right? Zuzei Kamalve Bashtar Damo, the government Nechasim Meshubadim. Or Dilma Kamalve Alpe Dav Elin the government Nechasim Meshubadim. Now the question arises. This guy, the guy who bought it from him, paid him money. Okay, there was the loan agreement that he might have offset, plus he might have paid him more money. Doesn't matter, even if it was just a loan. He now thinks he bought it. Turns out it's not his. So now he wants his money back. So the question is, that money, what's the status of that money? Look at Rashi here. Zuzei, ma'ot shehu tovea mimenu. The money that the buyer, the purported buyer who thinks he bought it, is coming back now. Right, she motzi alav shtar she machat li kerim she ain shelcha. He says, "Yeah, you says the shtar you sold me a field which wasn't yours. Vekibalta ma'otai, and you got my money. Vekatavta li achrayut." Rashi adds it in. You see, it's not in the Gemara, right? Vekatavta li achrayut, and you wrote me achrayut, meaning that I've got a guarantee of that money. So the question now is, what really is the status of this contract with achrayut? We saw a moment ago, Rabbi Meir says, if you sell a field and there's a pagam, there's a blemish in the contract, and you did it on purpose, we cash throw out the whole contract with ribbit. So Rabbi Yochanan said that if that were the case of a shtar muktam, we said that maybe the other reason it's possible not because Rabbi Meir, but there's even a bechaziv chachamim because we're not sure how you can claim it. What's the status of here? Is this sales contract of no bearing and therefore the achrayut is meaningless? And he can go run a fly cart? Or is there status with the achrayut? That's the Gemara's question. He says like this. Zvine vadalos vine. Everybody agrees there's no sale now. But now with regards to the guy's money, has he got a achrayut to go now into other properties of his or not? Zuzei kemalve kebishtar. And therefore there is benechasi meshubadim. It's got a achrayut. Or dilma kemalve alpe damo. Just a mech. The best, it's a verbal loan. Ve'enol gov benechasi meshubadim. You can't go now and start attaching properties. Now he's got to go after the guy and hope one day he'll find somebody. So I'm Rabbi, I love how the Rabbi Asi, the Amar Rabbi Asi. Isn't this the, can't we learn this thing he said from Rabbi Asi? What did Rabbi Asi say? Rabbi Asi says like this, Mode, right? Rabbi Asi says, if a person, right? Mode b'shtar shekat, if a person acknowledges that he signed a loan agreement. Rashi says, yeah, Mode b'shtar shekat, me'achar she'alove mode she'shtar chov she'otzi alav shtar emetu. He says that at the end of the day, this creditor who's got his shtar over here, the borrower acknowledges he owed him the money. There's no question about it, right? In the original loan. You don't need kiyum shtar. If there's acceptance by the guy who borrowed the money, the shtar's a good shtar, then we don't need to go to Beit Din and do kiyum and find aidim, etc. Everybody agrees it's a shtar. So he says, achinami, so too here, just like in a normal loan agreement, if the borrower acknowledges the shtar, then the shtar's got validity, we only need to do kiyum in Beit Din. So he says, look at Rashi, so too here, achinami, the guy admits that he sold it in b'achrayut, he's not lying, he's not hiding it, he says, yes, I sold it in b'achrayut, but it wasn't mine. Right? V'im ha-shtar batel le'inyan ha-mechira, and if you're going to tell me that the shtar is no good, because it was a gift document to his son that preceded this. So according to Rav Asi, well, according to the Gemara says, why is it the same thing as Rav Asi? Rav Asi says that if a borrower acknowledges that he owes money, so the star has got validity, you have to go to Qum. So to Avia, that guy acknowledges that he sold him with Achrayut, so the star should be a good star, at least the Achrayut. It might not be a good sale, but at least the Achrayut should still be binding. That's what Rav Asi, the Gemara, wants to say. Money v'shtar shekat v'enot tzarich l'kaimo v'govim nechazim v'sharim. The Gemara said, no, no, no. So Amalei Rabbah said, not at all. Amalei Rabbah, back in the Gemara, how do you compare the two? They, in the case of Rav Asi, Hatam, Nitan, Likatev. There was at least an ability to write the shtar. When a guy wrote the shtar of a loan agreement, he was allowed to borrow, and the other guy was allowed to lend. They both had dart, it was both mutar, nobody was stealing anybody else's stuff. And therefore, because the shtar was a shtar, which could have been written in the first place, we don't need kiyum if one of them admits to it. But over here, but hachelon itanikata, the shtar couldn't be written in the first place. You can't sell a contract of something you don't own. It's like the famous story of my father's, I think it's Rabbi Tanza's joke about two drunks sitting on the Brooklyn Bridge. They start negotiating over who's going to, what the price. Said, I'll sell it to you for $1 million. He said, okay, 700,000. Eventually, he comes down to 100,000. He says, no, probably he's selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And the guy takes out a check and writes it, but he hasn't got a pen. So he asks the other guy for his pen. And he writes his check with the other guy's pen, gives him a check, puts his the other guy's pen in his pocket and walks away. Oh, where's my pen? He might have started, he stole the pen. Arguing over the Brooklyn Bridge. You can't sell something you don't own. He says, that's the difference, says over here, Rava. He says, there with the loan agreement, you could own it. Yeah, you can't own it. So now the Gemara says, Yati, my Rava, coming to Hashmaita. So my Rava must be sitting over and saying this Shmaita of Rava, that Rava just said, why you can't compare the two? Because that contract wasn't even able to be written in the first place. That's why there's no Zachrayt. The whole thing was a fraud. So you want to tell me that the contract, Milechatchila, I can't write your contract selling something that belongs to my son. So it's like, I can't write it to you. So to the Achrayut isn't relevant. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say spin over here, but we can't help but think that why should this guy who forced him into selling the field be rewarded in any kind? It makes sense. You want, exactly. At the end of the day, the guy was a guzzlan, right? But let's leave it alone for the moment. Let's not confuse ourselves with the emotions. Now that in this week's parasha, you are down mezaket achayv or mechayv lazakin. You can't be ledalim, chonen ledalim. You can't favor poor people. Let's leave that alone. Let's be in Shabbos of Kedoshim Tiyu, right? So let's leave the subjective dislike of this guy, or even object. And let's look at the actual issue. She says over here. She says sayati. My Rav Kamal Hashmaita. He was saying, "Rav Rava just said Amale Ravina Dramat Ravina said to Marema. I don't understand Marema. Elahad Amar Rav Yochanan." Did Rabbi Yochanan say that the problem with the shtar mukdam was, we saw it earlier on, wasn't that because it was a bad shtar and therefore we chucked the whole shtar out? Which Rabbi Meir would say, there the reason we said we couldn't use it was Shem Yigvim Isman Rishon. The reason why he didn't like the shtar, Rabbi Yochanan, where he said, Chachamim say that the problem with taking the interest and by using that shtar, etc., is because we're just not able to actually validate the real time of the shtar. Now, if you write, Rava, that the whole reason why this shtar is wrong is because milechatchila you couldn't have written such a shtar, so then Rabbi Yochanan should have said that was the reason there of why the shtar mukdam is possible. Why he should have said this, why is the shtar mukdam a problem? Because the shtar mukdam, you can't write a shtar mukdam. It's all a lie to begin with. You can't write a shtar that's a lie. And the shtar that's a lie has got no validity and chuck the whole shtar out. Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Look at the Gemara. Name Eloni Tanikatev. Why Rabbi Yochanan there? The Shtar Mukdam say, why is the Shtar Mukdam bad? Because you can't write such a Shtar. How can you go now and give a Shtar, right, on a loan that you took a loan a month ago and you only took it today? You can't do that. And he never said that. So, Marley.
Just saying you can't predate lot. You can't predate Shtarim.
That's what we're talking about. The question is why?
Yeah.
But our question is why? So Rabbi Yochanan explained in the previous Amud.
There's no problem predating it, but you can't sell something that you no longer own.
That's not the question. There's no doubt about it. You can't sell something you don't own. And that the Gemara said. Look in the previous Amud. The Gemara said over here, Zvine vadai lo have zvine. The sale wasn't a sale. But now we're not arguing about that. Everybody agrees you can't sell something you don't own. The question is, what about the other conditions that you had in the contract? Are they still valid? Or once the contract's not a contract, we chuck everything out with the contract. I mean, Meir said, Kontin hetera atu isura. Because there's an isur of ribit, we can't even charge the capital. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's not true. Chachamim said, you can charge the capital. So because a shtar is a bad shtar, we don't chuck out everything, we chuck out what the problems are. So the ribit, you can't charge the ribit, but the contract or the capital stays the capital. Here the guy sold the field. One second. Here the guy sold the field that wasn't his, but he gave the guy achrayut, and he received money. So the question is,
he wants his money back.
So he wants his money back. The question is, where does he get his money back from? Can he go after karka meshuberet, mortgage land to other people? Because he's saying, my loan predated those. Or do we say, listen, mister, this whole contract wasn't a contract. You can't buy something which doesn't own. So therefore, once the contract itself is not a contract, nothing in the contract is a contract. And the achrayut doesn't exist anymore either. That's the sugya. Right? So now our question is, so what does Rav Asi say? Rav Asi wants to come along and say, but no, the guy acknowledges that he sold it. So if he acknowledges he wrote the contract, then we saw in the case of a loan agreement, when a guy acknowledges the loan agreement, we don't need kiyum, the contract still has validity. So to a VA, he acknowledges he wrote the sales contract. So agree that he couldn't have sold it, but at least accept the other points of the contract. Rava said, what are you talking about? There with a loan agreement, the guy was able to write the loan agreement to somebody. And that's why we needed Kiyum, not a Shtar Mukdam, a regular loan agreement. He was able to write a loan agreement. Here, can a guy Bichlal write a sales contract of something which isn't his? No. So once he hasn't got the ability to even write such a contract, then don't start hacking me details in the contract should still be valid. The whole contract gets chucked out of the picture. So comes along, that was Rava said. So now Amaymar, Maremar tells the sugi over to Ravina, and Ravina says to Maremar, I'm not 100% sure what's going on over here. Because if you write that once you write the contract, which you weren't able to write in the first place, then nothing is valid in that contract, then why didn't Rabbi Yochanan in the previous Amud, where the machloket there was Rabbi Marin Chachamim, whether a shtar muktam is pasul or not pasul, and we chuck the whole thing out, Rabbi Yochanan said it's a bad shtar, but not because you weren't able to write it, because the whole thing's a fraud. He said the reason we couldn't use it was because we just had technical problems actually establishing the real dates of the shtar, which implied that Rabbi Yochanan is not so worried about the fact that because the whole shtar was a bad shtar, nothing in the shtar is valid. In other words, if Rabbi Yochanan, if there was a way to say, Rabbi Yochanan, I've got a way to establish the real date of that shtar, and the guys who entered into the contract are intelligent, sophisticated people, and they also know it as well, maybe that shtar would be a good shtar. In other words, the very fact that you aren't able to write such a shtar isn't a good answer. Everybody with me? Just the whole chazor of the shir in 2 minutes, right? So he says, Shema Yev, and give him a name, Lo Nitani Katev. So Amale, so now, this is Ravina and Marema. So Marema says to Ravina, back to him, he said, you guys, not the same thing at all. Hatam Nehid Lo Nitani Katev is Ban Rishon, Aval Nitani Katev is Ban Sheni. He says, you can't compare the two. Then, the Shtar Mukdam, you write, you weren't able to write it on the date that he wrote it. Why? Because it was called the Shtar Mukdam. But if he had dated it a later date, it was a good star. In other words, there was ways to correct that star. That star had the potential of being a good star. Do you agree? The problem is the date. Hacha, lo nitani katev kal. You can never ever write a sales contract on something you don't own. I can't come in. I can't sell your house. And then the buyer starts arguing with me. But wait a second. What are all the details in the star? There's no basis. There's no raklaim ravar. You can't start such a process. So that's how Marama and Ravina explain or argue about why Rava said that Ravasi's answer isn't a good answer. Elahad Tanya says, well, wait a second. Okay, so now it's not so partial.
Darren, there's no futures option there. Like if I said to you, when I acquire that car, whatever, when I acquire that car, I'll sell it to you.
That's not what you said, yeah. That's something different. And then if you do acquire it, then that's a condition. That's already a tenai. Here we're not talking about, here we're talking about an absolute, I came into your house, and I signed a contract to sell your house to somebody. I didn't even come into your house. I'm standing outside in the driveway. I come with a buyer. He says, oh, I like it. No problem. I'm selling it to you. And you sign a contract. I give him the money. And I give him a achrayut. I take the money. Now the question is, can he come after me on the achrayut? I'm a ganef, let's say.
That can be run a few times.
Okay. That's the question. A contract of purchase of sales on condition, if I buy it.
What about somebody who's bought a house like you in your field through a bank or whatever? And the house is destined for the bank until he's paid off whatever the loan.
Okay, that's also different. There, in theory, I own the house, so the sale might not be a good sale. Right? I might have defrauded the bank. If the guy didn't bother checking the title and see there's a mashkanta on the title deed, that's maybe. But it doesn't matter. But I own the house. In other words, even Rabbi Yochanan would say, or Chachamim would say, or Maremar would say that house could have been sold if I went to the bank and paid it off. But yeah, this contract can never begin because it belongs to somebody else.
Or it's sold subject to the mortgage.
Or it's sold subject to the mortgage, but that's what I'm saying. Those are all conditions. Those are all contracts which are able to be done. The underlying problem over here is, and that's what Rava says, this is rubbish. You can never sell something that's not yours. And you're going to argue with me now about the contract of the achrayut. So the whole contract's a fraud, but you want to come and stick on one detail's good? Okay, that's our question. So let's we got to move now. Okay. So the Gemara says, Elahad Tanya, what about the brighter we saw over here with the Shevach Karkot Ketzad? Now Rashi fills us in over here. This is a Gemara on Dav Yudah. We saw at the very beginning. Rashi's over here. Oh, see what Rashi we're on? We're on the last Rashi in the top wide lines. that's we've got lots of Rashi's together. Anyhow, L'Shevach Kagel, it says, Raisha Didei, she explains herself, the whole story is, En Motzin Lachila Pairot, L'Shevach Kagel, B'Nechassim Meshubadim. So I said, Tikkun Olam, if you sold somebody to something, right, you sold somebody something, a field, you sold him a field, a guy stole a field, then he sold it to somebody else, and then now this guy made all the improvements on the field, and now the original guy who you stole it from comes and takes it back from him, but you sold it to him, and now you got to pay him back, you got to compensate him. She's going after the Ganef now. So it says over here, Ein Motzin Lachilat Peirot, Uleshevach Kar B'Nechassim Meshubanim in Etikun Olam. Right, so there's certain things that you can go after the Ganef from Karkot Meshubadot, which are, remember, Meshubat to previous guys. That would be like the actual capital portion of the loan. But improvements and fruits that you had grown on the field, that you can't go after the Ganef's previous guys who bought from or lent him money, because then nobody ever buys from anybody. Because then they say, wait, if I'm buying something from you now, which seems like it's okay, and it's open game for anybody now who you do anything with in the future to come after me, nobody will buy. That's called tikkun olam. So to protect buyers, Chamis, there's certain things that a guy stole or misled people, whatever, they can go after guys. And therefore, when you buy something, you've got to take into account a certain amount of risk over here, that, and exposure that you've got on that happening, who your seller is, etc. But they can't go to town on you. So it says over here, Elahad Tanya Leshevach Karkaot Ka, it's a Shevach, if a guy, a buyer from a Ganef, had made improvements to the land, so going to Haresha Gazal Salabich, if a guy stole a field from his friend, Umachan sold it to somebody else, Vishbicha, and he made improvements and he built buildings, whatever, Varehi Yotzebitach, now he loses it. So Keshu Gove, when he comes to claim from the Gazlan, I bought a field from you, I built houses on it, I built barns and whatever, I planted vineyards. So the kerim, the purchase price that he paid, that he can get from a chasim meshubadim, from previous lands, right, there. But the improvements are in a chasim meshubadim. Now the Gemara says the same question. Why do we say that he can even go after him for anything? Why do we say that this Gazlan couldn't have sold couldn't have written the contract with Ivrav is right? And how could the Gazlan write a contract of sale in the first place? It wasn't his. He stole something. You can't go steal something from somebody and sell it, and then the buyer comes after you. Why don't we just say, listen, Mr. Buyer, this Gazlan shouldn't have sold you in the first place. The whole contract's unenforceable. And therefore, sorry, what can we do? You bought stolen goods. You must pay the price. Now, I saw a note somewhere, I think in the Duff notes, that the Miri says that the buyer even knew it was stolen. Okay? Yeah, the Bible knew it was stolen. It gets you on the price, you know. You can tell when the offer's too good to be true, it really normally is. Okay, so if somebody's offering you a new high-definition television set with all the trimmings and etc., you know, for a tenth of the price, there's something wrong over here, right? So he says, Naime lo nitani katev. So he says to him, how can you go back? Yeah, so you compare it. Hatam ilamanda manichelei delo nikre gazlan ilamanda manichelei delikum mimnuta. So the Gemara there, right, this Gemara there on Daf Tet Vavit, that we learned it, which is a little bit different. Why is a star a good star? Because the Gazlan doesn't really want to be called the Gazlan his whole life. And he wants you to trust him. So he's going to go and try and buy it from the guy he started from and make good your sale. Okay? Mephias Le Lamaru Mokin and Aval Hacha. But yeah, we know that when the guy sold the guy his field, the whole purpose of the field was of this contract was to do what? To hide it, to not enforce the sale. There, even a Gazlan who sold might want that sale to be enforced. Here, this guy, what did he do? His mortgage holder came and said, if you don't sell me your field, I'm going to steal it from you. So he quickly went to his son and did this matana. Now, when he sold that contract was just to get the guy off his back. Right, he said the whole purpose was lavruche mina kemechaven to how do you say lavriach in English? Like steal it from him, basically take it away from him to get it out of his hands. Help me, how do you say lavriach? No, I don't say lavriach. He tried. Rashi says, yeah, sheik na liv no hakatan of higurus. He gave his sons a gift was to hide it away from this ganef. So shtaru mekayem le. You want to think that the shtar. Rashi said, "But he never intended to sell the guy. It was all a joke. That whole star. The whole purpose was just to get the guy off his back. So when he ultimately came and pulled out the star and said, look, I bought it,' he'd show up and say, 'What are you talking about? You're trying to steal from me. It belongs to my son. I couldn't sit in here. So why would he even want to take onto account any achrayot?' Basically, the Gemara concludes: there's no purpose. There's no achrayot over here. Now, the question, what happened to the loan? Good question. What happened to the loan? But you've probably got to pay the guy back. The loan, you're adding the loan. Anyway, okay, let's quickly try and push on with the Mishnah here. And Poskin Lav. Now we come to the whole section of futures. Okay. That's what we already seen. And Poskin Lav, pay Rashi, it's our shah. So you can't do a futures agreement to pay now, to set a price now, to only get something in the future until the market price has been set. Yeah, it's our shah, Poskin. Once the price is out, you can do it. And even if one guy hasn't got, it's not a problem. Because once the price is out, he can always go and buy it from somebody else to supply to you if he needs it. So it's not a problem. Hayahu tchila lekotchim. If you're one of the first guys, like you're a farmer, not a retailer, a wholesaler, posekimo ala gadish. You can set a price for this guy and his fields, right? Even if look, Rashi, hayahu tchila lekotchim. V'yesh lo gadish. He's got stock in supply, but don't look outside. There's no price yet. Posekimo, but as a shashi, you can fix any price you want. La teitlo miotok is to give him from that crop. Ala gadish. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah uses a couple of terms. Ala gadish is the crops. Ala avitcha navim. So avitav navim, Rashi says over here, is a big vessel that when they pick the grapes, they throw them into the things before they go and trample them to make wine, etc. Right. And for olives, it's called the mitan. The same thing for zaitim. Vala beitim shel yotzer. That's when the potter makes all the pottery into like egg shapes, like these big balls, before he starts the process, right? Vala sid, misha shakuk bekivshan, and the guy's making pitch or tar, whatever the case is, or plaster, or cement, before they put it into the kiln. Anything in its early original stages. If he's the source, you can make a price. And when it comes to manure, you can set a price with guys for manure for the whole year round. Rabbi Yossi Omer, right? Rabbi Yossi says that Omer, says Lolam ain't poskin la zevil. You can't do the price of the manure. Elim can atalo zevil bashpa. Unless the guy's got what do you call it? Where they like make the zevil, like a guys having their back gardens, like a manure. What's it called? Where you have a rubbish, like what's it called? Help me there. People, compost heap. I think that's the English word. You compost heap, right? The chachamim say you can. Uposekim b'shar gavoa. Now shar gavoa over here, the high rate is actually the cheap rate. Look at Rashi. The very last narrow lines of Rashi, Poseik Bo B'Shar Gavoa, Im Yifchot HaShar Mimashu Achshav, Titen Lo K'Shar Hazol. So you can agree with him on a price, that if it goes down the price, you're going to get the cheaper price. And Rashi says, Yashar HaGavoa, when we say a high price, we mean Bezol. What do we mean Bezol? Shnotim Perot Harbe Bedamim Mu'atim. Shar Gavoa means you get a lot for your money. Okay, so it's Gavoa in quantity of what you're getting. Not gavoa in what you're paying. So if you get a dozen eggs for 12 shekels, or you get 24 eggs for 12 shekels, that's called shar gavoa. The 24 eggs for 12 shekels is half a shekel an egg. Not 12 shekels. Okay, that's what he means over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afi Shelo Pasakim B'Shar Gavoa. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you don't specifically set that agreement out, if the price drops, you can get the lower price. Yachol Omer, Tain Li Kazeh, or Tain Li Et Maotai. You can say to the guy, when time comes to deliver, either give me the cheaper price, or I'll give my money back. That's what Yehuda says. Okay, so now, looking at tomorrow's stuff quickly. Let's just quickly push on a little bit. Amar Asi, Amar Yochanan, ain't poskin l'ashar shebashuk. Rabbi Yochanan says, Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, ain't poskin l'ashar shebashuk. That you can't set a price, a market price. Now, what does that mean, ain't poskin l'ashar shebashuk? There's a Rashi over here, from it was a Likute Rashi over here, I think I saw.
If there's a fluctuation in the price there.
No, we just said now if the price goes down, you're gonna get the lower price. That's what he said. Rashi, look at Rashi, the very if you go to Oshka here, there's a good one from Samar Kim, says, Vahu Shari Otsali Day Khamarina may be in Tuala Shuk Bekrachim. So he says, you can't posek al hashar shebashuk in the market of the supplies you have in the market. Amar Rav Zera Rav Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, afilu kadurmus hazeh? He's talking about even like a durmus. So what does he mean over here? What does he mean by kadurmus hazeh? Rashi says over here, durmus itlis ravagad, like a massive big butcher, like a wholesale butchery. So Amar Lelo, Lelo Rabbi Yochanan, Lelo Beshuk Shalai, Arot Lelo Kave Tarai. He said, no. Rabbi Yochanan, he said on the shuk, it means like a small market in a little village where those aren't the guys who have got the ability to set prices. In big markets where they can set price, like a stock exchange, for example, sets prices. If some guy opens up a little stock exchange in his backyard trading shares, he's not really going to have an influence on the marketplace. She says, the most I understand, Laman and Sarika, that time he carried Amar Yochanan, Afilu Kedumus, why would you even have a Havamina to think that in a big place like Kedumus, you wouldn't be able to set the price? It was Ela Matniti Niktani, Eposkin La Peret, Achi Yatsa Ashar, Yatsa Ashar, Poskin, Hachim Mishkach La Matniti, what am I speaking about? Bechitei Da'ach Levei Va'arve, Dim Shoch Taru Tvei, look at Rashi over here. It says, Be'ach Levei Va'arve, Mishi Yatchilu Balei Batim, the homeowners, Ve'ochei Peret, and the fruit, the wholesalers, Livtoach Ochotem, to open up all their supplies, the Svinot Ba'ot Benahar, and the boats arrive on the river. And the Yotvalim Kor, right? Dimshoch Tarayu Lizman Meruba. There the prices, when the season starts, it appears in times of Chazal, the season would set in, and once the season and trade started, the price would be set. And then it would last for a while, it wouldn't fluctuate on a daily basis. Right? Then it would be okay to set prices. Once the price comes, you can. Why? Because if he hasn't got, he's got. So therefore, if you set a price for this guy, if he hasn't got stock in his yard, he'll go and buy from his neighbor because there's a set price. No one's worried anymore. And what if you buy flour? A new flour, you buy it for cheap. Why? Because it's not dry yet. And the older flour, which is dried out, is costing you 3 for a sayer, and the cheap, and the new one you can buy for 4 for a sayer, cheaper. And you've got to wait till the prices start adjusting, and we've got fixed prices on the old and new. You know what? Let's stop over here. Let's stop over here. It's a place to stop.